Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries and death notices. Cliff Buchanan, 79, of Odessa, passed away on October 1st in Odessa. Cliff's celebration of life will be held on Saturday, November 7th at 11 a.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Odessa. Face masks are required, hand sanitizer will be provided, and social distancing will be observed. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in Cliff's name to White Bison, a grassroots nonprofit dedicated to wellness and healing, or an organization of your choice. Dorothy Laverne Jackson, 61, of Midland, formerly of Big Springs, gained her wings on Saturday, October 17th, after a lengthy battle with cancer. Funeral services will be Monday, October 26th at 2 p.m. at Warren Funeral Home, with the graveside committal to follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. James Jim Edward Clanahan, 89, of Midland, passed away in the early morning hours of October 19th due to complications from late-stage cancer. A memorial service honoring Jim will be held for family and friends at a later date to be announced. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Jeffrey William Edwards, 76, passed away Sunday, October 4th in San Antonio. Services will be held Tuesday, October 27th at 10 a.m. at the First Baptist Church of San Antonio. In lieu of flowers, please consider making a memorial contribution to CASA or the Ecumenical Center for Education, Counseling, and Health. John Stephen Sullivan, 51, of Midland, passed away on October 20th in Midland. Memorial Mass will be held at St. Anne's Catholic Church on Thursday, October 29th at 2 p.m. A wake will be held at the Sullivan Barn afterwards. In lieu of flowers, a GoFundMe account has been set up through the following link, gf.me/u/y5w6s3, to help the surviving children with final estate expenses for their parents. Services are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. Valdemar A. Reese, age 73, of Midland, passed away on October 18th. He was born in Floresville, Texas, on December 23, 1946. Memorial and funeral arrangements will be private. Elizabeth Ann Breches, born December 17th in Tyler, passed away October 21st in Midland. Graveside services will be 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 27th at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral services entrusted by Ellis Funeral Home. Donation in lieu of flowers to Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. Linda Service, 75, of Midland, passed away October 22nd. There is no service scheduled at this time. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, Section A. Montessori Mastery Plans Expansion by Ruth Campbell. Because of a need and demand, Montessori Mastery School of Odessa plans to expand with students and renovation. By next fall, the school will include 3 through 9-year-olds. It currently runs from 4th grade through high school with 80 students, mainly in the lower grades. The main reason for the changes is the students, said Randy McGuire, who is co-director of the school with his wife Gloria. The school, which opened in 2012, went 4th through 8th grade to fill a niche. The McGuires had a friend, Deborah Rainey, who ran Rainey Montessori School. She retired 3 years ago, and no one's ever filled that niche for 3-year-olds through 9-year-olds. That's why we started at 4th, because we were a feeder school. After our first year here with just 8th grade, parents said, "Can you please do high school?" That's when we prayed. We're fully accredited, so we went through high school because it was the right thing to do, McGuire said. He added that it hasn't been easy, but he and Gloria felt they needed to have a response because there was such a desperate need for this difference in our community. The school, which has 80 students total, is located in St. Andrew Cumberland Presbyterian Church at 1415 North Grandview. McGuire said the church had space the school could use for the younger children, so they took up the offer. This was God to us. We had to have a response because there was such a desperate need for this difference in our community. The church had the space, and they believed that we should use the space, not just let it sit idle during the week. So we opened because of the need that we saw in the community, he said. The high school was opened due to parent demand, and the same is true for 3 to 9-year-olds, he said. We'll have fully trained Montessori teachers doing the program, still under our direction and guidance. I'm a Montessori trainer as well as a teacher, so I know fully what the early childhood needs to look like, first through third. Personally, I've done first grade all the way through eighth grade now. We have the people who will do that, but to be able to do that, we need to renovate the church, has some areas, and then expand the building. We have an architect working on that right now, McGuire said. With the renovations, he said, the school can take up to 30 children in each class. He added that there will be a fully trained teacher and full-time aides. Having more children, McGuire added, will give them more consistency in their grade levels. Due to COVID-19, McGuire said students attend school in person in the morning or afternoon, but they have a full day of school. Students don't eat lunch on campus to limit exposure to the virus. As of October 14th, they had no COVID cases. It's not a half day of school. They're coming in the morning or afternoon. They get instruction. They get assignments. Montessori is set up on the understanding that students really need 2 to 3 hours of independent work time to be able to concentrate and do their work, and so they know what they're to be doing, McGuire said. They go home and they work, and the next day they come back and we review it and do it all over again. In high school, there are more virtual students, and they have gone to a block schedule. They're with one teacher on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the other teacher Monday and Wednesday. Friday is a tutoring day, and also they do their electives on Friday. We're still doing ASI, our American Sign Language, and the instructor comes in live and does it live with some of those who are here, but then does it virtually with the rest of them, McGuire said. They do not have theater or field trips this year, but they are offering keyboard and music theory rather than singing because they don't want to project. We've seen a lot of articles about how choir members are getting sick, and so again, we're taking the path of least resistance, and we hope and pray. We've tried to eliminate as many opportunities for spreading as we possibly can. The kids seem happy. Morale is good, he said. April Claxton, a paraprofessional at Montessori Mastery, said it is a challenge and trial to be back at school. She has 2 children. But I know here at the Montessori school, compared to public, there's less fear to me. I brought my children here for that reason. I feel like they have it together here. They have a good schedule set up. They have the split set up. The children know each other personally. If there is an issue, it's quickly assessed. I feel more at ease than what I would at a public system, Claxton said. Seniors Asa Reeves, Alyssa Kiker, and Ty Brunner are pleased to be back on campus. Reeves has been attending Montessori Mastery since halfway through 7th grade. I'm very glad to be back at school because online was not very fun for me. I couldn't grasp the schoolwork as much as I can in person, Reeves said. Kiker said being at school is a lot better than being at home. I feel like we needed to go socialize, Kiker said. She said she has been going to Montessori Mastery since 6th grade. The McGuires helped me a lot with math. I was really behind when I got here. I feel like it's more hands-on than normal school, and it helps, she added. Brunner, who lives outside of town, said his internet kept going in and out while he tried to learn remotely. He has been at Montessori Mastery since 5th grade. It's better here than being at home sitting in front of a computer all day, he said. McGuire added that the school helps prepare students for college work by showing them how to set priorities manage their time. He added that advancement via individual determination, science, technology, engineering, art, and math, STEAM, is built into the curriculum as well. It's not test-focused, but well-rounded, McGuire said. Local news roundup. Have you voted? Early voting continues through Friday. Ector County Courthouse Annex, 1010 East 8th Street, Room 104. Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive. Westlake Hardware, 4652 East University. The Globe Theater at Odessa College, 2308 Shakespeare Road, and Salinas Community Building, 600 West Clements. For sample ballots or more information, call 498-4030 or visit www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.elections. Free lunch for vets. Bubba's locations in Odessa and Midland will welcome veterans and active U.S. military for free lunch November 11th. For veterans and active military unable to attend this year's event, the restaurants will distribute rain check vouchers good through June 30th, 2021. Veterans and active military can pick up a rain check in either Bubba's 33 parking lot tent. Proof of service includes military or VA card or discharge papers. Bubba's in Odessa is located at 6153 East Highway 191 and in Midland at 3315 West Loop 250 North. Coat Drive. Medical Center Health System has scheduled Coats for Kids Coat Drive benefiting the Salvation Army. Gently used jackets or sweaters of any size, infant through adult, donations are welcomed. Drop off at any red Salvation Army barrels at MCH, Center for Health and Wellness, Mission Fitness, 8050 East Highway 191, Urgent Care, 3001 JBS Parkway, or MCH Clinic, Walmart East. Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, October 25th. Rigoberto Perez Valenzuela, 65, of Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico, passed away October 17th in Odessa. Rigoberto was born July 26th, 1955, to Manuela Perez and Felipe Valenzuela in Delicias, Mexico. Rigoberto is preceded in death by his wife, Marcelina Ochoa Valenzuela, and his father, Felipe Valenzuela. He is survived by his mother, Manuela Perez Valenzuela, four children, Francis Pando, Efren, Michelle, and Cristina Valenzuela, and three grandchildren. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Sunday, October 25th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Mass of Christian burial will be at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church Monday, October 26th at 1 p.m. Burial will follow at Odessa Two Gardens section of Ector County Cemetery. Condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Mary Jo Garner. Mary Jo Garner, 104, of Odessa and El Paso, passed away October 20th. She was born in Baird, August 20th, 1916, to the late Fred and Maud Hart. She married Howard Garner in 1938, and they were married for 58 years. Mary Jo is survived by a daughter, Gwynnell Kirk, and daughters-in-law, Carol and Dora Garner. Five grandchildren, nine great-grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her husband, Rufus Howard Garner. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that you consider making a memorial donation in Mary Jo's name to any humanitarian entity that promotes love and respect for every human being. Graveside services will be held Monday, October 26th at 10 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with a robust request for social distancing and the wearing of masks. Cliff Buchanan. Cliff Buchanan, 79, of Odessa, passed away October 1st. He was born September 22nd, 1941, in Big Spring. He was preceded in death by his parents, John and Doris Buchanan, his first wife and mother of his children, Carol Dawn of Odessa, and his younger brother, James Buchanan of San Antonio. He is survived by his wife, Nell June Baldwin Buchanan, his children, Bob Buchanan and wife, Peggy of California, Lydia Cummings of Austin, David Buchanan of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Leanne Prince and husband, Donnie of Battle Mountain, Nevada, a brother, John Buchanan, and wife, Maria of Odessa, 7 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, November 7th at 11 a.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Odessa, 401 East 42nd. Face masks are required, hand sanitizer will be provided, and social distancing will be observed. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made in Cliff's name to White Bison, 6455 North Union Boulevard, Suite 102, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80918, whitebison.org, a grassroots nonprofit dedicated to wellness and healing, or an organization of your choice. Luz Marie Rios passed away Friday, October 16th, after a short battle with COVID-19. A family celebration of her life will be celebrated at a later date. Luz Marie Rios was born Thursday, February 9th, 1950, to Luz Lois and Petronilo Pete Castellon in Odessa. She was preceded in death by her father, Pete Castellon, brother Desiderio Desi Castellon, a grandson, her husband Robert M. Rios, and a nephew, Michael Castellon. Surviving her are her mother, Lois Castellon Eggleston, and husband David, daughters Michelle Rios, Roberta Robbie Romero, and husband Raimundo, Nicole Hernandez and husband Tim, 9 grandchildren, 16 great-grandchildren, sister Juanita Molinar and husband Octavio, brother Michael Castellon and wife Melissa, along with numerous nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests a donation be made to a charity of your choosing in her name. Dorlees Yvonne Hicks Perkins. Dorlees Yvonne Perkins passed away Monday, October 19th, at the age of 91. She was born in Guthrie, Oklahoma, March 3rd, 1929. She is preceded in death by her father, Jim Franklin Hicks. She is survived by 2 sons, Jim Huffman and wife Ann of Sunrise Beach Village, and Dan Huffman and wife Dee of Odessa, 3 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and 2 very special friends, Robert Gonzalez and Christina Guerrero. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 27th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Lillian R. Brown. Lillian R. Brown, 84, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 21st. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Moises Garcia Valenzuela. Moises Garcia Valenzuela, 82, of Midland, died Friday, October 23rd, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Tuesday, October 27th, at the San Miguel Catholic Church in Midland. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens with Father Patrick Akpanabong officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Laura Poole. Laura Poole, 76, died Sunday, October 18th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Michael Eric Riley. Michael Eric Riley, 53, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October 20th. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Thursday, October 29th at Acres West Funeral Chapel with Pastor John Viatoro officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Linda Service. Linda Service, 75, of Midland, died Thursday, October 22nd. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. John Sullivan. John Sullivan, 51, of Midland, died Tuesday, October 20th. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. October 29th at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Monsignor Larry Drawl is officiating. Arrangements are by Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. Moselle Stokes Thomas. Moselle Stokes Thomas, 88, died Thursday, October 22nd in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Margaret Lillian Yancey West. Margaret Lillian Yancey West, 91, of Odessa, passed away Sunday, October 18th. Family visitation will be Monday, October 26th from 3 to 6 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home in Odessa. Masks will be required and social distancing will be practiced. A celebration of life will be Tuesday, October 27th at 2 p.m. at Belmont Baptist Church in Odessa. Carrie Peacock and John McLemore will officiate. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The service will be live streamed at www.facebook.com/Belmont Odessa/. Margaret was born in Coleman County, May 27, 1929, to Eldridge Frank Yancey and Lola Evelyn Cook Yancey. She married Raymond Joe West, Sr., July 26, 1952, and he preceded her in death in 2001. Margaret is preceded in death by her husband, her parents, three brothers, Curtis Yancey, Keller Yancey, and Charles Yancey, a sister, Nancy Smith, and husband, Bill, her in-laws, C.A. and Ruby West, and a stepmother-in-law, Ruby Lee West, brother-in-law, Ralph West, and his wife, Lou Ella, two sisters-in-law, Yoma Fowler and husband, Leroy, Dora Henson and husband, Lauren, a brother-in-law, Henry Singletary, as well as two nephews and two great-nephews. She is survived by her five children and their spouses, Raymond Joe West Jr., Ray, and wife MJ of Leesburg, Virginia, Marie Rivera and husband Robert of Odessa, Diane Peacock and husband Kerry of San Angelo, Donald West and wife Rita of Azle, Lucy Bounds, and husband Floyd of Gulf Breeze, Florida, 21 grandchildren, 29 great-grandchildren, her siblings, Cheryl Davis, Larry Yancey, Ann Brown, and Randy Yancey, and wife Debbie, sister-in-law Evelyn Singletary, brother-in-law Robert West, and wife Darlene, as well as numerous favorite nieces and nephews. Maxine Sweat. Maxine L. Sweat, Max Menese, passed away Thursday, October 15th at the age of 87. She is survived by her son, Dennis L. Sweat, and wife, Dina, daughter-in-law, Susan Sweat, 5 grandchildren and several great-grandchildren, her sister, Linda Taylor, and husband, Mitchie of Odessa, as well as nieces, nephews, grandnieces, and grandnephews. She's preceded in death by her parents, Kleber and Amelia Maniz, son Melvin L. Sweat, and brother Al Maniz. Max was born March 6, 1933 in Santa Rosa and has resided in Odessa for 69 years. The family will receive friends for visitation Sunday, October 25th from 1 to 5 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Graveside services will be Monday, October 26th at 2 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Pastor Mike Bartlett officiating.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, October 26, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Election. Number of early voters could possibly hit 50,000, by Stuart Doreen. The number of eligible Midland County voters casting a vote early for the November 3rd election is guaranteed to surpass the total from 2016. The Midland County Elections Office reported that through Saturday, there had been 32,807 early votes. That is already more than during the entire early voting periods of 2008, 30,445, and 2012, 29,824. And now, 2016's total of 36,862 appears set to go down. An increased number of people voting early was likely, considering the higher number of registered voters in Midland County. The Midland County Elections Office reported earlier in the month there are 90,543 registered voters, a nearly 20% increase from the total number of registered voters in 2016. And because Governor Greg Abbott extended the early voting period due to COVID-19, there are 5 more days for residents to cast a ballot. If the average from October 19th to 23rd, or Monday through Friday from last week, holds true, that would mean another 16,500 votes. That type of turnout would mean the first 50,000 vote early election period in the history of Midland County. And that doesn't include the mailed-in ballots, which approached 3,000 as of Saturday. Should there be 50,000 ballots cast during early voting, that would be more voters than during the entire 2016 election, early voting and election day. That total was 49,698. There are 5 early voting locations: the County Annex, 2110 North A Street, Calvary Assembly of God, 908 Johnson Street, Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch, 2503 West Loop 250, Fairmount Park Church of Christ, 3818 North Midland Drive, and St. Paul's Methodist Church, 4501 Thomason Drive. Voting times are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. today through Wednesday, and 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday and Friday for all locations except the County Annex. The County Annex will conduct early voting from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today through Friday. This article is entitled Weather, Old Man Winter to Slam into Region, by Stuart Doreen. Winter is coming, or at least a taste of the cold weather that hasn't been experienced since February. The National Weather Service is calling for a dramatic change in the weather, starting with a 50-degree change in the high temperature and then a chance for wet, wintry weather tonight and into Tuesday. Whether it is air temperature or the threat of sleet or freezing rain, it will be something not felt since the beginning of the calendar year. Following a high of 89 on Sunday, the day's low was 58. Here are some of the 4 highlights from the National Weather Service forecast. The weather will not warm up today. The high is expected to stay around 40, and then the chance for rain enters the forecast. The National Weather Service is calling for a 20% chance today. Old Man Winter first visits the area tonight. The National Weather Service is calling for north winds to continue around 20 miles per hour, with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. The wintry wet weather then kicks in as the chance for precipitation rises to 80%. Expect rain or freezing rain between 8 p.m. today and 2 a.m. Tuesday, and freezing rain and sleet after 2 a.m. Tuesday's forecast is more of the same. The chance of precipitation remains around 80% during the day and night, while the high temperature isn't expected to clear 32 degrees. The low Tuesday night will dip into the upper 30s. The warming trend starts Wednesday afternoon. A high of 49 degrees is expected. A 60% chance of rain is expected. Should the rain not make roads treacherous, the precipitation will be welcome for the region, which is in the midst of an exceptional drought, according to U.S. Drought Monitor. The National Weather Service office in Midland shows the amount of rain this year, 6.84 inches, is about 6.2 inches behind what is expected through October 24th. The National Weather Service shows a total of 1.57 inches has fallen since April 1st, nearly 7 months ago. The temperature swing will also be dramatic. In a matter of 24 hours, it is possible the National Weather Service will report a record high for October 25th, followed by a record coldest high for October 26th. The current record for the coldest high for October 26th is 50, set in 1936. Record low temperatures are also possible for Monday and Tuesday nights. Heading into Sunday, the National Weather Service reported that Midland was on pace to recording the fourth warmest October on record. The National Weather Service also reported that no rain had fallen at Midland International Airport this month. This article is entitled Education: Superintendent Search Community Meetings Set for Tuesday, by Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD Board is soliciting feedback from parents, staff, and community members about what they seek in a new district leader. The board will hold three community meetings where the residents will be able to provide feedback. The meetings are set for 11:30 a.m. Tuesday at Bowie Fine Arts Academy Auditorium, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Midland High School Library, 5:30 p.m. November 9th at Lee High School Auditorium. This feedback will be considered when evaluating potential candidates, and it is important to the board. I encourage community members to participate in the process, said Board President Rick Davis in a press release. During the meeting, participants will be asked to comment on topics such as characteristics they seek in a new superintendent and strengths and weaknesses of Midland ISD. Residents may also provide feedback via a survey that can be found at midlandisd.net/search. The survey will close November 19th. The survey includes questions about qualifications of candidates, issues of concerns about the district, and identifying district strengths. Deadline for superintendent applications is November 19th. At that time, evaluation of applications will begin with candidate interviews targeted for early December. The board hopes to approve a final candidate in early 2021, with that individual starting soon after.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 26th. Teacher connects with students. This story was written by Ruth Campbell. For Ramon Rivera, it was fitting that he would win the Don Quixote Award for the Philippe Alanis Outstanding Hispanic Educator. The award is given by Hispanic Heritage of Odessa. Rivera is a literature teacher at Permian High School. Rivera has been at Permian for 16 years. He also taught briefly at Lee High School in Midland. Rivera said he was surprised by the recognition. Quote, "It was an honor. Usually this award goes to a principal or somebody that has a little more authority. It is an award I was honored to receive, especially because it's Don Quixote and I'm a literature teacher," Rivera said. He told his students they need to be dreamers and follow their dreams, quote, "even if age comes around," end quote. Rivera is the chair of the Languages Other Than English, or LOTE, department. He teaches honors and advanced placement courses such as Spanish 3 and AP Language and Culture. Rivera, who is from Odessa, earned bachelor's and master's degree in Spanish from the University of Texas Permian Basin. He got involved in the youth ministry at his church and found that education was like a calling for him. The important thing, he said, is understanding the students, their psychology, their way of being, and trying to motivate them to continue their education. Quote, "The biggest reward is when I give them advice when they need advice or through the stories that I'm teaching them, the literature," Rivera said. He said he reminds students that they can fall, but they always have to get up. When students switch from going on the wrong path to wanting to learn, Rivera said that is the most gratifying part of being an educator. Quote, "When you see that sparkle in their eyes, when they get it, when they grasp that concept, that right there is the biggest reward of being an educator," he said. Giving students advice and telling them about how to handle things in life is also satisfying to him. He estimated that he teaches about 150 students in person and virtually. Rivera is a graduate of Odessa High School. He is involved with the Spanish Club, Hispanic National Honor Society, and communities and schools. Being back at school has been rewarding after the shutdown due to COVID-19. It also has gotten him back to a routine that he thinks is good for him and his students. Quote, "Something about the classroom motivates me as well. My resources are here, everything that I need to get to class, and at home I didn't have that luxury," Rivera said. Permian principal Delisa Stiles was pleased with Rivera's award. Quote, "Ramon Rivera is certainly deserving of a prestigious award, such as the Educator of the Year Award for Hispanic Heritage Month. He leads his department by example and truly walks the talk, teaching a full schedule of classes as well as serving as department chair. He is truly an advocate for his colleagues and students and is highly respected by all who know and work with him. Permian High School is very fortunate to have Mr. Rivera as part of our team," Stiles said in an email. Odessa doctor treats migraines with Botox. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. For as long as he's been in Odessa, Dr. Mandeep Othi has been providing pain management for patients. One of his newer ventures trends into migraines and headaches. Othi, who is with MCH ProCare, uses Botox as a prevention tool for migraines. He noted that migraine headaches are very common in American culture. Quote, 11% of the population has migraines, which equals to 28 million Americans, which also leads to $13 billion a year of labor costs that are lost each year because of people missing work for the headaches, Othi said. It's the seventh leading cause of visits to a primary care physician, end quote. To figure out whether a patient has migraines or some other type of headache, they need to see their physician or provider to figure out what the causes of the headaches could be. Quote, "Some of the causes could be thyroid conditions, diabetes, and more serious causes could include tumors, strokes, infections in the brain, or sinus infections. In order to exclude these other causes, the provider has to order lab work. MRI or CT scans may be ordered as well, and in the case of infection, a spinal tap may need to be done," Othi said. As far as how to diagnose, we again rule out the more serious causes first and figure out if the condition is related to migraines or not, end quote. Othi said the most common way to figure that out is patient history. Quote, "The most common symptoms are throbbing, pulsating headaches, usually at one side of the head. It can go to the eye, go to the back of the head. It can be associated with nausea, vomiting, difficulty with light, difficulty with sound, difficulty with concentration. It can also have what we call aura, and that precedes the headache. In about 20% of the patients, they have aura. What that means is they may see a flash of light 30 minutes to an hour before the headache starts, Othi said. Patients also may have a loss of vision, nausea, or vomiting. Quote, "Those are important things to look at, but only 20% of the headache patients who have migraines have the aura associated with them, so basically after we diagnose it, we have to find out how to treat this condition. The most common way people treat the condition is take over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medication, which is what most people do. Excedrin migraine is very commonly used," Othi said. "Others are ibuprofen, Motrin, and Aleve, among others." Othi said another option is treating the headache as it happens in real time with prescription medication like Emetrix. He added that there are newer ones out there that help with the nausea and light sensitivity, as well as the headache itself. Ubrelvy is a new medication for headaches. Other medications that may be given to patients are Reglan and Zofran for nausea. Since nausea can be associated with migraines, it might also make the headache better. He recommended avoiding opioids or taking them as a last resort because of the side effects and possibly of addiction. Caffeine medications like Firazyr are addictive as well, he said, and patients can get rebound headaches with those medications. Anti-seizure and antidepressants also may work for migraines. Newer options, such as Amovic, may be injected by a patient once a month as preventative measure. Quote, "Those medications are good for short-term use, but not long-term use. We want to avoid opioids and avoid medications with caffeine in them," Othi said. Triggers can be alcohol, spicy food, cheese, older types, MSG, estrogen, oral contraceptives, menstrual cycles, and stress. Botox is approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for migraine headaches, Othi said. He administers injections every 12 weeks, and it has been successful. Quote, "We have to maintain that every 12-week period, or if we get off that 12-week period, the headaches will come back faster than before. So the studies have shown every 12 weeks. It's basically about four times a year," Othi said. He administers injections in the forehead above the nose, above the eyes, right above the ear. Injections can also be in the back of the head, along the muscles on the side of the neck, and the trapezius muscles as examples. The Botox injections can also be used for muscle spasms, people who have had strokes, brain injuries, and cerebral palsy. Quote, "There is a danger in that you cannot inject it into the nerve itself. You can't inject it into the blood vessel because that can cause catastrophic situations. Patients could have difficulty breathing, so the provider or the physician doing the procedure has to be well trained and have experience doing these procedures. Otherwise, it can cause serious side effects, and that can cause respiratory difficulties," Othi said. A side effect of Botox is it can cause one eyelid to droop. Quote, "It's a strong medication," he said. "It's got to be done properly and precisely," end quote. Esther Hoffman of Odessa is one of Othi's patients. She said she had tried all the medications for migraines, and most of them basically treat seizures. She's found that Botox injections are easier than having to take a pill every day. She also didn't want to take prescription drugs or take the risk of anti-seizure medications. Quote, "I definitely would recommend trying it. I know that a lot of people have tension headaches, so just being able to relax those muscles so that it doesn't hurt as much is very helpful. So I would definitely say if you don't want to be taking prescription medications like I didn't want to, or just have the tension headaches, for whatever reason, I think that it would be awesome just to be able to get relief, and it's instant, Hoffman said.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 26th. Obituary notice from the Odessa American for Monday, October 26th. Carolyn Elaine Fox, 81, of Odessa, passed away Monday, October 19th at her residence. She was born December 16th, 1938, in Kermit, to the late Mildred Diaz and Noble Fisk. Carolyn is survived by her son, Michelle Taylor, and wife, Laurie, of Midland, daughters Elizabeth Weaver and husband Wesley of Granbury, and Linda Coburn of Odessa, 6 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her husband, Deward T. Taylor, and second husband, Albert Fox, son, Owen Taylor, grandchildren, Kristen Taylor, Katie Taylor, and Jarrett Weaver, son-in-law, Clark Coburn, and daughter-in-law, Judy Taylor. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday, October 28th, from 4 to 8 p.m., at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Funeral services will be Thursday, October 29th, at First Baptist Church, followed by interment at American Heritage Cemetery.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, October 24, 2020. Plethora of possibilities. Costumer Crystal Wilkerson Diaz holds a headdress and feather feature of a showgirl costume Friday at Midland Community Theater Costume Rental Shop. MCT is renting Halloween costumes by J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hurstnp.com. Midland Community Theater's Costume Rental Shop is now open by appointment. Costumer Crystal Wilkerson Diaz said, "The shop usually rents out about 100 costumes during the Halloween season, but this year has been slower because of the pandemic. Staff will disinfect before and after people come by to try on costumes," she said. Rental fees start at $35, with a $60 deposit. Specialty rentals are $55, with a $120 deposit. Deposits are refunded if costumes are returned in the same condition as they were rented, she said. Costumes that are available include Marilyn Monroe, Easter Bunny, military style, and flappers, as well as from the production of Mamma Mia. Some costumes have matching masks, Wilkerson Diaz said. Ready to rent? Midland Community Theater's Costume Rental Shop, 682-2400, extension 107. Costume rental at mctmidland.org. Midlanders Run to Honor Local Marine by Caitlin Randall. See Randall at mrt.com. Each year since 24-year-old Patrick Whalen died during training with the U.S. Marines, a group of Midlanders has traveled to Washington, D.C. to run a marathon in his honor. With the marathon canceled this year because of COVID-19, they've opted instead to run a 26.2-mile loop around Midland. Run to Honor is a national group that encourages volunteers to either participate in the Marine Corps Marathon or run on Memorial Day to honor fallen Marines. Paige Newton, who runs with a local group created to remember Wayland, said few Midlanders have participated in the Marine Corps Marathon each year since Wayland died in 2011, and 9 are running in Midland today to honor him. The group emerged after Wayland's father, David, asked friends of the family if they wanted to help him train for the Marine Corps Marathon, Newton said. It's bigger than myself, she said. We do it for Patrick, and for Mr. David Wayland, and for the Wayland family. We do it for them. Wayland died August 1, 2011, after he suffered a cardiac event during a swim training exercise in Pensacola, Florida, according to an obituary in the Reporter Telegram. He was revived through CPR, but was pronounced brain dead when he arrived at the hospital. His family then arranged for one of Wayland's kidneys to be donated to a Marine suffering from kidney failure in San Diego after reading about the Marine in news stories, according to an article in the Los Angeles Times. It could have gone to anyone, but they found someone, a Marine, that needed a kidney. They searched for that. That definitely speaks of the bond Marines have, Jacob Chadwick, the recipient, said in the article. This is not how it usually happens. It was just meant to be. Wayland attended Texas Tech University before transferring to the Naval Academy and graduating in 2010, according to his obituary. He played football at Midland High, where he graduated in 2005. The Midlanders running in his honor will begin their run at 6 a.m. today at Midland High, then run past Midland College and through Green Tree. The 9 participating range in age from their 30s to 60s, Newton said. They had all registered to run the marathon in D.C. before the event was moved online this summer because of coronavirus. Newton said they decided immediately that they would find a way to run a marathon. Just because it's canceled doesn't mean we're not going to do it, she said of the group adapting their plans. We can do it in Midland.
Collagen in your diet. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, Saturday, October 24th. Dear Dr. Roach, what exactly is collagen, and why do I see so many ads supporting its use as a youth supplement? RF. Answer. Collagen is a structural protein found in your skin, bones, tendons, and ligaments. Collagen is constantly broken down and replaced by the cells in the connective tissue of the body. We need adequate nutrition and the amino acids necessary to rebuild collagen. However, I am not a believer in collagen supplements. You get the amino acids you need from a healthy general diet. Collagen supplements will be broken down rapidly into their component amino acids in the stomach and intestine. So the collagen you take can't just be put into your body. It needs to be broken down and rebuilt in place. What is currently called bone broth, or what our parents' generation called stock, is a much cheaper and effective way of increasing collagen intake. Vegans should be careful to get the critical amino acids in collagen. Beans and asparagus are a good way to get the amino acid proline, which is low in many vegetable sources and necessary for collagen structure. Hidden phone used nonstop is hard to take. Dear Abby, for Monday, October 26th. Dear Abby, I'm unsure how to handle a coworker who is constantly on their cell phone, hidden between their legs, during their 4-hour work shift. I have reminded them to leave their phone in their car since they have a hard time not checking it or texting during work hours. We have spoken several times about this unacceptable behavior, which improves for 2 days and then reverts back to using their cell phone as usual. Is this generational acceptable behavior that I am missing? I'm in my mid-50s, and I can live without texting friends and family while I'm supposed to be working, but they seem to need to have their phone in their hands all the time. The manager ignores this behavior, so that's not an avenue I can pursue. Please help. Peeved in Pennsylvania. Dear Peeved, is there a policy in your employee handbook that forbids the use of cell phones during business hours? If there isn't, this may be the reason your manager is ignoring your coworker's behavior. Because your manager refuses to discourage what the person is doing, you have no choice but to ignore it and concentrate on your own tasks at hand. I only hope that your jobs aren't collaborative, which would impede your productivity. Dear Abby, I need your help. I've been dating a guy for a while now, and our relationship is good, except for his extreme jealousy. I told him at the beginning of our relationship that I have guy friends, and he was okay with that. Well, I thought he was. It feels like he's trying to control me. I have let friends go because he would assume the worst. He doesn't want me to have any male friends, but I don't think I should have to give up people I care about to make him happy. He always suspects that I'm cheating. He looks through my phone. He doesn't want me to delete any of my messages. It's like he wants to find something to prove himself right. Lost Girl in the South. Dear Lost Girl, this guy's jealousy is not rooted in love for you. It is a symptom of his own insecurity and not something you can fix for him. You could delete every single male friend from your life and he would still look for signs that you are cheating. Your relationship is very unhealthy, both for him and for you. Men like this become increasingly controlling and then move on to become abusers. Please end the relationship before he harms you emotionally or physically. Dear Abby, I live in a triplex. I'm on the second floor, and my son and his wife and 3 children live on the ground floor. Every Sunday, I have a family dinner with my sons, their children, etc. My daughter-in-law does not come unless her best friend, who is my other daughter-in-law, comes. So 3 times out of 4, her children come with her husband for dinner, but not her. I think it sends a bad message to the kids. What do I do? Incomplete in Canada. Dear Incomplete, first, you ask this daughter-in-law why she does this. Does she feel she needs a buffer? Then tell her and your son what you wrote to me. After that, if nothing changes, drop the subject.
Jacqueline Bigger's Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars are the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Pisces. Happy birthday for Monday, October 26, 2020. Intense, altruistic, and fearless, you seek to better lives. A creative project you work on becomes very successful in 2021. You cannot help but inspire others. Finances are also very good. If single, you're too rigid to find anyone up to scratch this year, although someone makes you laugh. If attached, there will be a reunion with someone from the past, but you preserve a blissful status quo. Scorpio becomes jealous. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Despite a busy Monday, take note of your dreams. A meaningful message from different dimensions might be encoded. You'll enjoy times of quiet reverie, feeling the approach of winter. There are thoughts and feelings you prefer to keep to yourself for the time being. Tonight, relax. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Choose new friends carefully. Today hints that associates who complicate your life should be kept at a distance. Travel, study, public speaking, and writing are all excellent. You could become more involved in politics and an organization. Tonight, catch up with old professional friends. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 2 stars. Work hard and be patient. It's a somewhat frustrating day. Prepare a board with pictures and affirmations portraying your aspirations. Use it to visualize where you want to go with your life. Protect your professional credibility, then just release the situation. Tonight, long shower or bath. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. Accept a friend's invitation to a meditation or study group online. You are restless, and expanding your sphere of activity would be refreshing. A well-traveled or educated friend offers valuable advice and companionship. Tonight, watch a foreign movie or documentary. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Accept the financial situation graciously. Listen to what the universe is trying to tell you. Synchronicity is at work. Be alert to messages of all kinds. The spirit world may even be communicating through apparent coincidences. Tonight, old cycles are ending. New options. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Today emphasizes partnership. A turning point for the better comes to those seeking a meaningful relationship. In love, business, or friendship, communicate clearly and make sure you both have the same goals for the relationship. Tonight, an enjoyable date night. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. The well-being of the people and places in your life impact you. Keep the negative ones away today, as your health is emphasized. Buy a new calendar to help plan your days efficiently. Time's an asset. Vow to use it wisely. Tonight, early bedtime. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Changes and surprises lead to a turn for the better in matters of the heart. A current relationship could either phase out or intensify. A sudden attraction shines the light of love on those Scorpio natives who've been lonely. Tonight, a mystery that's fun. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. Today finds you comforting family members. Changes or repairs concerning your residence are likely. Others are crying about this. A feng shui treatment would be a good idea. Purchase needed household supplies and do the repairs. Tonight, blitzing out in front of the TV. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. A neighbor or sibling seeks your advice. Relieve the daily grind by working with more frequent breaks. Add variety to your job by working on several projects at once. Tonight, learning a new subject or catching up on reading has great appeal. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Ask questions and verify. Be patient if a piece of work has to be redone. It is Mercury retrograde, after all. Meditate on ways to cut back on expenses. Resale shops or discounts can help you out. It's a very organizational and productive day, as it turns out. Tonight, a job well done. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Bright conversations greet the early morning of autumn. A decision is made, possibly involving a journey. You will feel a strong Mars influence, encouraging bravery and assertiveness. And you assume a position of leadership. Tonight, dance like no one is watching. Born today, singer Mahalia Jackson, 1911, actor Bob Hoskins, 1942, singer-songwriter Natalie Merchant, 1963.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.